Welcome to Sermons by Washington National Cathedral. We're so glad you're with us. We hope this week's sermon gives you comfort and inspiration. Be sure to check out our new podcast, Crossroads, where we discuss a wide range of topics pertaining to the intersection of sacred and civic. And now, enjoy this week's sermon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Happy Easter. Welcome, 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 everyone. We are so glad that you are here with us today on the most important day of our faith, the day where we proclaim that the tomb is empty, Christ is risen, and death does not have the last word for Jesus or for any of us. Whether this is your first time at the cathedral, or you are here every Sunday, or you come only occasionally, welcome. We're glad that you are with us today. Not long ago, I received an email from a friend with a story about a husband and a wife, Jim and Joan, who were having a rough patch in their marriage. And as a result, they were giving each other the silent treatment. Seems they had a bad argument, and they were both so angry that each refused to speak to the other. 2 days into this contest of wills, with not a word spoken between them, Jim realized that he needed Joan to wake him up at 6 a.m. so that he could meet his friends for his Saturday golf game. Y'all can see this is going to be trouble already, can't you? It seems that Jim was notoriously a heavy sleeper who often slept right through his alarm clock. But Jim was also very competitive, and not wanting to give in and be the first to speak and break the silence and lose the war, Jim thought he was being quite sly and found a solution. He wrote on a piece of paper that he handed to Joan, "Please wake me at 6 a.m. so I can go to play golf." Well, the next morning, Jim woke up at 9 a.m., long after his friends had already teed off. He was furious, leaping out of bed and heading down the stairs to see why Joan didn't wake him up. He noticed a piece of paper sitting by his nightstand. The paper read, "It's 6 a.m., wake up." Love, Joan. The email finished with this observation. Men are simply not equipped for these kinds of contests. It seems that men were not equipped for the first Easter morning either. All the disciples were either too exhausted or, more likely, too frightened to go to the tomb. Early on Easter morning, it was only Mary who was there to mourn the death of her friend. Arriving at the tomb while it was still dark, Mary believed that all hope was lost. Her friend and teacher had been brutally executed because he was deemed a threat to the state. All his friends had fled and run away in fear for their own lives. All that was left to Mary was her grief and her duty to prepare Jesus' body for burial. And so, at first light, she came to the tomb. And when she realized the stone had been moved, that Jesus' body was missing, she ran and woke up the men. But when Peter and the other disciple arrived, they were as puzzled as she was, and so they returned home and left Mary standing at the tomb weeping. Can you see her? Can you picture her in your mind's eye, standing outside that tomb in the darkness, weeping? Sad beyond words, because not only was Jesus dead, but now it seemed that even his body had been defiled. Can you picture it? I know that there are many here today who, like Mary, have spent too much time standing at tombs weeping. For some, there have literally been too many painful hours spent beside the graves of those we love and have lost, grieving for those who have died. For others, these tombs are more metaphorical. The tomb of a lost job that we counted on to provide for our family. The tomb of disappointment when we realize that a lifelong dream will never happen. The tomb of sadness and worry as we struggle with disease. The tomb of heartbreak when a child takes the wrong path. The tomb of rejection when a relationship falls apart. The tomb of addiction that destroys lives and families. After more than 30 years in ministry, I know the tombs where so many stand weeping. I know the pain and the struggle of good people trying to make their way in a very difficult world. Easter is all about the power of God's love in a difficult world, in a world of lost hope. It is about the good news that regardless of how we might feel at any given moment, no situation in our lives is beyond God's redeeming grace. The good news of this day affirms that new life, resurrection, is always possible, whether in this life or in the next. Easter declares that the tomb is never the end, that death never has the last word. As Walter Brueggemann once said, Easter is not just a vague feeling that things will work out, for it is evident that things will not just work out. Easter is the conviction against a great deal of data that God is tenacious and persistent in overcoming the deathliness of the world. As Mary stood weeping, as a matter of fact, little did she know that the risen Christ was nearby, alive and well. Little did she know that hope was literally standing a few feet away from her. It wasn't until Jesus spoke her name that Mary knew the truth of this day. Yes, Jesus' death on the cross had been the greatest of tragedies. He was killed by sinful, frightened men living in a sinful and terrifying world. But God refused to let the tragedy of the crucifixion go unanswered. Despite human sin and cruelty, God raised Jesus from the dead, defeating death and promising us that never again would any of us remain captives to the tomb. For me, Easter morning is the source of all my hope. As one preacher put it, I am a Christian because the story of Jesus is still the story I am willing to risk being wrong about. I cannot begin to tell you how this one event more than two millennia ago defines all that I am. It is the only answer that keeps the tombs of life from closing in around me. Yes, people I love will die, but Easter proclaims that I will never truly be lost to them, and they will never be truly lost to me. Yes, dreams will die, jobs will disappear, disease will come, relationships will fall apart, and the people I love will disappoint me, and I will disappoint them. Easter does not remove these and other tombs from life. Rather, Easter promises us that on the other side of every tomb, love and new life and new possibility, new hope, and the assurance that God will never let us go. that these are the defining and ultimate truths of this life. It's said that if you'd been living in the Roman Empire in the year 150 or so, you would have noticed a strange custom practiced by Christians. Every year, the followers of Jesus would go out to their Christian cemeteries and they would place laurel wreaths on all the graves. Most people thought this was very strange because in Greek and Roman culture, laurel wreaths were normally reserved for crowning the victors of great battles or great athletic contests. Think of the Olympic wreath. However, when any of these Christians were asked why they did this, they would always say, "Because we believe that in Jesus Christ we have received victory over the power of death." My friends, we can gather today just to sing the great hymns of Easter or to listen to the familiar stories from Scripture. We can come today simply to enjoy the absolutely incredible flowers and join in the Easter hallelujahs. Easter can be experienced in these ways. But the real power of Easter and the empty tomb is the way that people's lives can be changed from death to life, from sealed tomb to open doorway, from despair to hope, from old ways to new possibilities. These are the signs of the resurrection. As beloved Desmond Tutu once said, "In the end, what matters is not how good we are, but how good God is. Not how much we love God, but how much God loves us. And God loves us whoever we are, whatever we've done or failed to do, and whether we believe in Him or not." I always am reminded of the words of that old hymn, "Tomb, thou shalt not hold him longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumphant say, Christ will rise on Easter Day." And that, my friends, is something very much worth celebrating. Amen.